And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's try this again. I had a great conversation with myself for almost half an hour and just got deleted. Damn Audacity, damn you! Who the hell wrote this stupid ass program? Oh, whatever. But I did want to give a shout out or recognize my uncle Lucho, very amazing for transportation and going back and forth with the death of my father in 2016, and he passed away of a heart attack early Saturday morning. So Uncle Lucho, rest in peace, Wisconsin Bus. All right, so I want to discuss the Ric Flair documentary. I'll talk about Jericho Omega, AJ Styles' new champ, Bar and the Shield, and then Survivor Series. I'll have my official Survivor Series preview for the 200th episode of Choked Out Radio. So the Ric Flair documentary, you know, very made me shed a tear almost with all the stuff that he's been through, being adopted in the early going, never being accepted, you know, his parents never going to games. You know, I can relate to that for different reasons, being that my parents are always working. But, you know, in their case, I don't know. They were into theater. He was into wrestling. He loved to watch it every Saturday night. Into, you know, getting scholarships through, you know, several universities. You know, one going to Minnesota, dropping out after 1 year of college, going to Vern Gagne, quitting the Vern Gagne school, Vern Gagne himself pulling him out of the bar or wherever he was at. Going through the 30, you know, 20 flights up, 20 flights down, 20 flights with someone, 20 flights down. Being able to, you know, go through that and then go through the plane crash that he's went through. It's just very crazy, very interesting life. You know, coming back, winning the World Heavyweight Championship, being able to assist NWA WCW, combating head-to-head with WWE. It's very fascinating. And not being able to be monogamous and being able to just have one wife and being able to and live his gimmick. You know, how every man wanted to be like him and every woman wanted to be with him in the 80s and the fallout between him and Jim Herd, you know, back in 1991, which led to him signing with the WWE and having one of his great runs, even though it was a short run. And for whatever reason, they canceled the match at WrestleMania 8 and they wound up having separate main events, which, you know, it was a good WrestleMania, but it wasn't a great WrestleMania. And for, I'm not sure why, I guess, you'd have to ask Vince himself, why did you not have Flair against Hogan? And then they had it back in 1994 at Bash at the Beach, but it just, to me, what just wasn't the same. It's like Pacquiao and Mayweather. It was a, you know, whatever. We finally got to see it. Didn't live up to the hype, but how great would have that been 5 years earlier? So that kind of reminds me of the same analogy, Maypac and Flair, Hogan. So all the issues, especially me being a parent now, all the issues with him being able to, what he went through with Reed, could, hindsight 2020 could have been prevented. And then also all the stuff with Charlotte, you know, she wasn't even looking to be a pro wrestler up until that point. And then, you know, basically fulfill his destiny of being a wrestler. And now she's doing great second generation wrestler and making a lot of money. So you never know what happens in life. And you know, and I was talking earlier when I was trying to tape this the first time, you know, I have a couple of friends in the business, whether it's Casey Blade or EC Negro. I know what they go through or went through as far as rigorous training, understanding the promo side of it, the psychology part of it, as far as the endings and then going on tour and then being able to do different tryouts. And then being able to somehow sustain a living and have, and you should have a day job of some sort, or being able to somewhat have a day job, and also being able to also, it's also important what you put in your body in order to have a nice, you know, physique, because in wrestling business, at least for the most part, it's about physique. A couple of exceptions like Dusty and Kevin Owens, but besides that, for the most part, you have to have some sort of physique. And it's just very interesting to see the rigorous training. And you know, one of the reasons why I personally did not pursue it full time per se, and which is why I'm behind the scenes or behind the microphone at, you know, in my 30s as opposed to doing the whole tour and all that, is, you know, I don't want to miss birthdays and I don't want to miss graduations. You know, I don't want to miss any of that. And you hear stories of Ric Flair. It was highly documented in that documentary how he missed a lot. I believe a week before graduation, he was on tour, didn't even come around, or a week after graduation, didn't even go to Ashley Dash Charlotte's graduation, or wasn't even involved. And basically, they were home alone, him, her, and Reed just running amok in a $1 million home. That's crazy, right? Think about that. You know, 18, 19, you know, freaking open crib. Imagine that, and just having booze and people over. It's just crazy. You know, and then, you know, have that guilty conscience in your heart. I don't know. Hindsight 2020 could have been prevented. I don't know. Maybe everything happens for a reason with Reed in order to open Charlotte's doors. It's just a very eerie situation. And then, of course, having Charlotte with her personal problems, which wasn't mentioned. It was about Flair. It wasn't about Charlotte. Her domestic issues and her first two husbands, you know, having to go through it. And I believe Flair was somehow involved with the first incident with first husband somehow. It's just very interesting, to say the least, with that. You know, I mentioned it during my, I guess, rough draft before this stupid thing erased. You know, I met Flair three times. The first time in 02 was an official meet and greet, which I don't remember. I'd have to ask Ralphie if we took a picture with him. The second time was in 2015. I was doing something for work. It happened to be at the same hotel as SummerSlam weekend. Hint, hint, I planned that on purpose. And I wound up meeting him at the bar at random. There, we were just having a chat, and he was obsessed with trying to find SportsCenter, I remember, on ESPN, and he didn't want to take a picture. He wasn't dressed. He was basically like in a long sleeve tee and shorts. And, you know, I was cool with that. He knew, I told him about Carlos, who was his banker, you know, good friend Carlos in Atlanta. And he was very, very, and that's how we sparked that conversation. That was the second time. That was the third time. The second time was in New Orleans. I saw him getting out of a limo or a car. And I was with my boy Andy as we were walking out of the, convention center in New Orleans. So those are my three incidents with Ric Flair, and God willing, he makes it, I make it to December 16th, and I finally get to meet him one-on-one, and then finally get to take a modern picture with Ric Flair. I don't have it on digital camera. I think I even have it like old school film, which I can't even find those pictures somewhere here because I moved a couple of years ago. So I don't know. So that's my 2 cents or how I met Ric Flair, and he's one of the greatest, man. You know, it's interesting how they portrayed it, and it's so true. The Horseman in NWA represented the blue-collar male, blue-collar worker, and represented sex, represented companionship, romance, represented all that, right? Bravado, the sex, being with your boys, having a lot of money, having cars, wearing fursuit, coats. It was about that. And WWF in the 1980s was about, you know, saying your prayers, eating your vitamins, and it was all about the kids. So it was just, although it's funny, same business as far as the wrestling business, but different demographic. And it's very interesting to see how that kind of shifted in the 90s as far as the Attitude Era, how it targeted more the teenage dash 18 to 34 demographic at that time, and then how it kind of moved away from that, and then we're kind of going back to that. You know, wrestling goes through cycles here and there, and that's where we're at with that. So as far as the Ric Flair documentary, I highly, highly recommend it. You know, and just like I said before, just having a kid and going through that trauma, and he mentioned it. He said, "Hey, I drank myself. He didn't try to kill himself per se, but he drank himself for a year. You know, because he couldn't take it. And I can't imagine. You know, everyone says, oh, I can imagine. No, I can't imagine being able to bury my own child." You know, it's always, you know, the way it works traditionally in life is, you know, you have them in this earth, they're with you up until college, and then hopefully they're out the nest, into the workforce, and hopefully do something with their own lives, and eventually they're the ones that bury you. But when you have to bury your own child, I can't imagine the traumatic stress that Ric Flair went to, and also being able to drink the amount that he did for 20 years, 10 beers, 5 martinis every day for 20 years. I don't understand how he's alive. He doesn't know how he's alive today, but it kind of took a toll on him finally earlier this year where, you know, he almost died when he was on that hospital bed, but he was able to kick out at 2.5, and he was able to somehow, some way, his will to live is unparalleled, as Jim Ross would say. And hopefully he's taking care of himself today. All right. I want to get into Jericho and Omega. That's another hot topic of the week. Is he with WWE? Is he not with WWE? I know Jericho approached Triple H and NXT about the cruise, and they didn't want to hear it, so he went with Ring of Honor, and I believe that's how that stemmed off as far as that. I'm pretty sure he discussed it with McMahon, and I'm pretty sure he gave him his blessing before approaching New Japan. And I don't know, I believe they were saying it's a one-shot deal, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's some type of trilogy. Now, as far as the talent exchange, you know, worked out with WCW to combat the WWF prior to the NWO in the 80s and 90s. I wouldn't be surprised if I see at WrestleMania Okada one-on-one against Randy Orton, and then I wouldn't be surprised if Cena fights Undertaker finally for the official retirement, and then we get to see the next bout, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of talent exchange that goes on here. Now, I was talking to a couple of people. I don't believe it's a return for using Jushin Liger at NXT in Brooklyn a couple of years ago. I don't think it has nothing to do with that. But it's an interesting bout. Wrestle Kingdom, as I was discussing on my rough draft before this thing erased on me, I always wanted to go to Wrestle Kingdom. I was saving. I wound up using that money, and I wound up not saving. But long story short, you know, and it's for different reasons with work. I expected something that didn't occur. So now we'll see what happens. But can I do it? Maybe. I don't know. Like as they say in football, being that we're taping today on a Sunday, I'm not doubtful. Or I'm not out. I'm questionable. So if I need a couple of things that happened to me this month, and maybe I'll make that decision and maybe I'll book the flight. It's an excellent triple main event. You have Tanahashi against Jay White, which I saw at House of Glory. You have, of course, Okada against Naito, who won the G1. And, of course, you have Chris Jericho against Kenny Omega, Alpha versus Omega. And I always wanted to go to Japan. I'll kill two birds with one stone. My bucket list is to go to Wrestle Kingdom. And number two, I always wanted to go to Japan. You know, I've always been a fan of Japan and what they represent. And I became fascinated even more watching Tokyo Drift. So I want to check it out. But I think it'll be a great matchup for Omega. You know, if he's not fighting Okada for the championship, and if he's not fighting for the IC championship, and if he wants to make the U.S. IWGP U.S. championship relevant, what better way than against Chris Jericho, the 9-time world champ, or whatever he is, 6-time world champ, 9-time IC, whatever his accolades are. I think a great special attraction match, and Chris Jericho always wants to work with the younger guys, has worked with the Wyatts and the Finns and all that. So I think it'll be great for him to square off against Omega. Be interesting to see, because Omega's contract expires January the 30th or the end of January, let's say. I don't think he could be in the Royal Rumble per se, but I do think he could probably be in the February pay-per-view and could be theoretically at WrestleMania 34. So I believe the only wrestler to wrestle in Wrestle Kingdom, WrestleMania, Bound for Glory was Cody Rhodes. And I think the only other man to do Wrestle Kingdom and WrestleMania in the same years, of course, AJ Styles, which is amazing to say the least. So we'll see what happens with Jericho against Omega. I'm loving the build towards it. Kenny Omega cut an excellent promo. Please YouTube it or watch it. He cut an excellent promo it was during the official press conference. He's right. You know, New Japan, you could argue that New Japan Pro Wrestling is the best wrestling promotion in the world. And you could argue that WWE is the best sports entertainment organization in the world. So why not? Why not, you know, come, or why leave if it's the best wrestling organization in the world? I believe what he likes about his role with New Japan Pro Wrestling is that he has creative control. One of the things that hold a lot of people back, whether it's in WWE or other organizations, not being able to give you creative 2 cents, and you're basically just a robot or just an actor in a play of some sort. But Kenny Omega, you know, being it that he's a fan of Final Fantasy, and he's a fan of the Terminator, which I saw Terminator 1 again for the first time in a couple of years. Amazing movie. I actually wanted to see Terminator 2 last night, but my wife didn't want to see it. Long story short, it's okay. But now, I would love to have Omega, and I know he was in developmental. I would love to see Omega with creative control have a nice run in the WWE. He could have amazing matches with Balor, with Joe, with Owens, with Rollins. You know, just thinking about that. You know, think about it. Of course, he could fight John Cena. So it would be amazing if he comes over. But of course, no, AJ Styles, it took a little bit to act, you know, to get accustomed to the WWE style, but he had an amazing 2016. He lost at WrestleMania 32, which is fine. Amazing program with John Cena, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and eventually had won the championship. And 2017 was a good year. You know, he was rewarded based on what he did with Shane McMahon, what he did with the SmackDown brand still, and being able to do what he did, being able to be in Chile one day, be all the way back in the United States and fight Finn Balor and because that was a weird card at TLC because of the meningitis and being able to have a great matchup with Finn Balor. He had to be rewarded. And that's going to segue into my next topic, my last topic, two topics. Being AJ Styles as a new champ, he beat the Maharaja. Maharaja put an official commentary out on Instagram saying how it was no PEDs, no backstage politics. He flat out lost clean and he's going to come back. Hey, I thought all along he was going to make it to India, the Indian tour with the championship, being able to promote it on Indian television. And I knew once he came back, if they were going to set up AJ Styles Nakamura, if that's the matchup they want at WrestleMania, then I knew at some point he was going to lose, and he did. Where does he fit on this card? I don't know. Maybe he replaces Jordan. Maybe he jumps, I don't know, Nakamura and gets involved in the match, in the tag. I wouldn't be surprised if that was to happen. So we'll see what happens with Nakamura, with Jinder Mahal. But I think he's a nice main event talent or upper mid-card talent for years to come on the SmackDown roster, pending his health. And as far as AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, they'll be an amazing matchup at Survivor Series. AJ Styles can work with anyone, and I know Lesnar has been called lazy over the past couple of years, suplex, 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 but I know AJ Styles will do his thing and carry that matchup, so to speak. So, as far as the ending, I don't know what's going to happen with AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, but I do see AJ Styles walking into WrestleMania as your WWE champion, and I see Nakamura either winning the Royal Rumble or winning the Elimination Chamber to have the right to fight AJ Styles, and I believe that happens. And then the last topic, I'm only going to have a 20-minute choked out radio. I had a 20, almost a 30-minute, but it got erased. Was the Bar against the Bar defeated the Shieldas past Monday. Now the Bar is going to square off against the Usos at the Survivor Series. Great move. The Bar is a great tag team. Excellent tag team, Cesaro and Sheamus. And now they square off against the Usos. It's heel versus heel, which is weird. But I think they'll do well because I think they want to set up the New Day against the Shield. Roman Reigns, I think, will come back. I think he's back from his meningitis. And that's a great nostalgia match. First Survivor Series, you want to stack it, you know, even more. So now Survivor Series, there was even rumors of them pulling it. But hey, it's an annual tradition. They've done great over the past couple of years. Last year, that was the best match of the year to me. The Raw against SmackDown elimination match was probably one of the best matches of 2016. I think if you do it right, you could tag team elimination matches can work, especially the last couple of years. The only time of the year supposedly Raw against SmackDown goes head to head. The analogy I want to use there is back in the day when you had the actual All-Star game before Interleague was the only one time that you had people from the American League interact with the National League, unless it was those two teams in the World Series. You could kind of relate that to supposedly to the Survivor Series, which is the only time of the year you had individuals interact without Under Siege stuff, Raw going against SmackDown. So it'll be interesting to see Angle interact with Cena again, or Orton again, or Samoa Joe interact with Rude again, or, you know what I mean? So, or Braun interact with Rude, or Orton, or Nakamura. So I kind of relate that to the old school All-Star MLB All-Star game. So we'll interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks there, but I'll have a full preview of Survivor Series next week. So just to recap, we spoke about Ric Flair most of the time. All right, we're going to talk about Lucho. And we spoke about Jericho and Omega WrestleMania 12. We spoke about AJ being the champion. We spoke about the bar. And then next week we'll get into that talk. All right, peace. Hopefully it doesn't erase.